Good morning, everyone. I think I can speak on behalf of Kate and Paul to say that we're really pleased to be here today and for the next few days, and just our gratitude to everyone for bringing this incredible conference together. So my name is Debbie MacDonald, and here we have Pablo Arangiz and Dr. Kate Tillichek. And Pablo and I work with Kate at her Young Lives Research Lab, which is based out of York University in Toronto, Canada. And we're going to speak to you today about a couple of different projects that we've been working on together over the last few years. And yes, I think Pablo, you're going to lead us off.
Okay, hi. Buenos días. My name is Pablo Arangiz. I'm coming from Chile. Yeah, we're going to show you some. Well, first, I'm sorry for my English. It's not my first language. So, we're going to show you some of the results of the work that we have been doing with Mapuche people in the south of Chile. So the first thing that you have to know is that I'm not getting used to do this kind of design. I'm used to make my classes into the forest or in the orchard or the coastal border. And when I'm doing my classes into the classroom, we're always sitting in circles. So it's difficult for me because I want to stand up always and move. You know? So I'm going to do it. So can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so so we're working with Mapuche people, with Huilliche people. Huilliche people is the Mapuche people from the south of Chile. Huilliche people from the Chiloé Island. Chiloé Island is an island south, 1,000 kilometers south of Santiago, is the capital of Chile, if you know. So Mapuche people, well, they speak in their own language, Mapuzungun. And to say hi, they say, Mari Mari, okay? Mari Mari, can you read that, no? Mari, it means 10, because in past, when they used to say hi, they used to salute like this, like this. So my Mari with your Mari is Mari Mari. Young guys right now, they are doing it in a more cool way, like this. No, so you're married, my married, no, married, married. So how we're starting right now, no, we're the first one. I'm saying married, married to you. No, we're really pleased to be with you and presenting something that we have been doing the last 7 years. Okay. So I was saying that Chiloé Island is southern Chile, is the northern gate of Patagonia, is an archipelago of almost 40 islands, mostly almost the whole island are populated. And this is a big island of Chiloé, and Huilliche people live here, and they have been living here for thousands of years. There is still no an agreement about how was the population of the southern cone. The southern cone, there is two hypotheses. That it was the first hypothesis, northern and south. The second one is southern north. All this area is populated with the Kanu people. Still they're living, even there are people that are saying that they no longer living here, they're still living, the Kawaska people, the Yamana people on Cape of Horn, and the Huilliche people are in the Chile Island. We have all the information from the archaeological sites are saying that this population have 5,000 years. We have Monteverde in southern Chiloé, 1,200 years, and so it's part of the Monteverde, one of the sites that are challenging the Clovis Convention. Next one, please. So our question is how we understand the Anthropocene from the perspective of the indigenous people. So the way we are seeing is that because the conquer, it was a clash of cosmovision. It was a clash of understand the universe It was a clash of understand life. So it was a difference between knowledge systems. You know? And when we're saying knowledge systems, it's because the knowledge of indigenous people, of Wiyiche people, is part of the whole system that is connected and interconnected with the language, with the spirituality. You know? So it's not just what you learn and what you know, and how you understand life is interconnected. You know? So this clash, here you have a imagine from the Pyramid of the Living Being from the 1500, and you can see that that was the way that Spanish people understand life and the relationship with other beings when they arrived to America. The left side, you have the Petra, the stones, the mineral. It was in the back part of the pyramid. And I'm making a comparison with the way that in Wiyiche people understand the relationship with the other human beings. Kepuka are stones. They are magical stones. And Wiyiche people, until today, they're using it to fertilize for agriculture, to fertilize crops. And every being in the Mapuche and Wiyiche cosmovision have a female gender and a male gender, and they say that there is a mother stone who birthed these Kepuka stones. So these are a different way of related with minerals and with the vegetation and with the people. You know? So it was a clash. I'm saying that it was a clash because it was a difference between a pyramid way to a circle way. You know? So that's why we're saying that it was a clash of knowledge systems. So this clash, this dissonance, it got different results. Enslavement, genocide, kidnapping, life, thief, murder, assimilation, discrimination, racism. And this is what we know, this is what the official story has been saying to us. There is another new aspect that I'm saying, or information that I'm saying, that because it was a million people who died because they conquered, the lack of agriculture produced that the vegetation start to cover the land, so the climate got cold. You know? So it was a climate change, which is interesting because it could be related with the Sahara hypothesis about how the patriarchy was related with climate change, and it comes from Africa to the rest of the world. So yes, it was a crisis, and we understand that crisis. Now we call Anthropocene, and we understand that it's the crisis of the scientific knowledge. And it's a debt, and we are going to hear about that. It's a debt with indigenous people, with indigenous cosmovision, and with indigenous knowledge systems. Next one.
Okay. So, we'll speak today about the Wekimun project, which was based in Chiloé with the Wiyiche people. The term Wekimun comes from the indigenous language of Mapudungun, and the word itself means new knowledge. So Wekimun became the basis of both the Wekimun project and then the Wekimun school, as we were seeking to reinvent the way in which we were doing education. So we were looking to create an education that was based in relevance, based in care, and designed with, for, and by young people and their communities to truly provide them the types of education and the types of interactions that they required in order to live healthy and well and sustainable lives within their communities. So Wekimun is the basis of both the project and the school. It was the cornerstone for, first of all, further developing the relationship that already existed between Kate's Young Lives Research Lab and the Wiyiche Council of Chiefs in Chiloé. The project was born out of a crisis as well, in that the Wiyiche communities of Chiloé have been affected for many years without migration, based on young people leaving to seek education and employment opportunities. So with this, a lot of the employment opportunities were provided to them by industrial salmon farming. When the salmon industry crashed and many of these people lost their jobs and had to return to their communities, they discovered that they no longer had the skill set in order to live sustainably and healthy and well in their communities. So Kate and her lab started working with our partners in Chile in order to design a project that would identify this crisis and support these peoples in moving out of this crisis as well. So Wekimun as a project came to be in that way. All of Kate's research is based in community-led and youth-attuned participatory action research. So we did needs assessment to speak to communities, youth, and their elders about what it was that they wanted to learn and what they felt could support them in healthy transitions towards good education and healthy lifestyles. And then we were able to take that needs assessment and with it create curriculum and create an infrastructure and a school that would continue. And the school does continue operating today. The school itself was designed, of course, as a school without walls. And so while there was infrastructure, necessary infrastructure put in place, we also utilized all of the exterior space and we were able to interact with nature on a daily basis as we were supporting these young folks in learning about their traditional knowledge. So Pablo was a professor. He was our sustainable development professor at the Wekimun School, which I forgot to mention initially. We have very little time. I do have a few videos I would actually like to share with you, just that allows us to dive a little bit deeper into the concept of Wekimun and how it helped us to develop a very successful project that, and school.
Wekimun represents, de alguna manera, no solo el anhelo de recuperar el conocimiento, sino que también la metodología, el soporte basal para construir un mundo sustentado en el equilibrio, sustentado en la interculturalidad y sustentado en la justicia, que la cultura occidental también le debe al conocimiento, a la memoria, a la sabiduría.
So that was Manuel Manos, and he was our... He was a great partner, still is a partner to Kate and her lab to this day, and he was the director of our school, our academic director. Here he speaks again about the power of education as a tool.
El proyecto nace de una convicción. La educación no solo es una herramienta para trabajar. La educación es un arma para derrotar el engaño, para derrotar la usurpación de nuestros territorios, para derrotar la proscripción o la prohibición de nuestros sabios. La educación es una herramienta, decía don Porfirio, para recuperarnos como seres humanos.
So through Wekimun as well, we were very focused on understanding different ways of being, becoming, and belonging. So Wekimun represented this new knowledge which brought together traditional and modern knowledge. And in our incredible team of, it was an intercultural transdisciplinary team, we were able to have great success with the Wekimun project, and of course transition into new projects as well, and we continue to work with the Wekimun people to this day. We'll briefly discuss now our Knowing Global Youth project, which allowed us to work directly with young people again in developing a very unique curriculum about young people. And we were seeking to understand, what do young people actually want us to be talking about when we're teaching about them in today's modern education system and in new education systems as well that we're continuing to develop. And Kate, do you want to chat about
it? Thanks. I'm at my 1 minute here. five. Okay. So an incredible privilege to have been part of this work at all. And I'd also like to point out both Jean Mitchell and Ron Strigley are here in the audience, and we're also a part of this work at Wekimun as well. And it's just been an unbelievable 6-7 year journey, and on we go. So coming out of the Wikimoon project is this piece of youth attuned, youth developed with, for, by young people curriculum called Knowing Global Youth. And it actually started some time ago in inner city Toronto with inner city black kids who wanted a different way to be known. So for example, if you were in a teacher education program and they're teaching you ed psych, you know, the psychology of young people in a very traditional kind of way, it was bothersome to them. And so what we did is we said, well, what would you, how would you want to be known? And so we did a lot of interviews and also with Indigenous people across Canada as well. How would you want to be known? What should we be teaching? And, you know, how would you be represented and what would be the knowledge that you would want to bear? So this is the curriculum, and it's still in development, called Knowing Global Youth. And Pablo has done some really intensive workshopping of this curriculum and really taken it to a new place coming out of the Wikimoon context and community. So we've developed a number of modules. Again, it's living, and we really hope to be doing more with this curriculum as we go ahead. It already serves well in terms of the integrated funky curriculum, I guess, as a word, in Wikimoon School, which itself, we haven't had a chance to talk about the curriculum, but it's very, very unique and special, and it's living, and on it goes. So in terms of the Knowing Global Youth, we talk about young people, we have courses on the Anthropocene, we talk about it specifically, we put young people into global context. There's a module on Indigenous young people and their place on the planet. Then what it is young kids are up against, and then what are they dreaming of and what are their strengths. So that's a general overview, but lots of great lessons that have been developed with and by young people. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Oh no, how much time do we have?
One minute.
We do have a two-minute video that we could show. It was actually a production that came from piloting the Knowing Global Youth curriculum with the young folks in Chiloé. Mm-hmm. We can close by showing that. But I also just wanted to say too that in all of our work, we're one of our major focuses is action-based. So we're in unique positions of privilege, particularly being non-Indigenous people, but having the opportunity to work with and for these people who don't always have voice and space. And so we're very excited to be here speaking with all of you today as well to understand how we can continue to move forward in these in our endeavors to benefit those who often don't have the opportunity. So this was a student video from our project-based learning.